Okay, Parshas Palmari. What parsha is this week?
What chapter?
6:5. Okay, very good. Excellent. Parshas Va'er Va'idaber Elokim El Moshe Va'yomer Elav Ani Hashem Va'era. I appeared El Avraham El Yitzchak V'El Yaakov V'El Shakoi. So right away we introduced to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared in the name of Kel Shakoi. Ushmi Hashem Loi Noidati Lohem. First pasuk of this parasha contrasts the shame of Kel Shakoi versus the shame of Ushmi Hashem Shem Yudke Vavke. So there's a very elaborate Rashi, and Rashi basically gives two perushim as to what this means. And Rashi, uncharacteristic of Rashi, he plays one against the other. Rashi very commonly, you know, he says the pshadzeu pshutoi, umidrashoi, it means this. And pick and choose whatever you like, you know, different strokes for different faults. Kashem she'ein partzufeim shavos kach ein dei oyseim shavos. Every person has different taste. Everyone is different. Some people like this answer, some like that answer. Everyone is different. And he generally, Rashi tells you the pshat, and occasionally he tells you, zeu pshuta umidrashoi, I have another mahalich. Rashi here does that as well, but Rashi then gets into this very elaborate discussion about pshat and drash, v'ani loy bossi elo. I'm only coming here to give you the pshat and your other ideas. It's like a uchepatish yefoitzeitz sela. It's like you bang with a hammer on a rock or on an anvil, different perushim, what that means there, and sparks shoot off. Rashi here, I think it's unique in the whole Chumash. I can't say I'm not a buck in Chumash Rashi, but this is it's a well-known Rashi where he's elaborating a little bit more than we would expect. So let's analyze what he says. The first thing he tells you is pshat. And the truth is, Pasuk Dalid and Hey and Vav is really an explanation as to what Pasuk Beis says. In Pasuk Beis, we're introduced to two very esoteric concepts. There's a Kel Shakai, and there is Ushmi Hashem. Now, we're not a Kabbalist. What does it mean, Shmi Hashem? What does that all mean? Yudke Vavke, Rachamim, we're not into this stuff. There's a Kel Shakai, Yudke Vavke, we get a little bit of...
Is Shakai one name, or is it two names?
Whatever, I don't know. I think I know. One name, two names, Shakai, on the tefillin we have Shakai.
Well, it seems to be a reference that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, die, let the world...
Sh'omar li olamoy die, right? So, we're not into this.
Not so, to finish off the world. Let man finish off the world.
So,
enough for the world to finish.
Die. Sh'ama, the world was expanding, and Hashem says, die. Let the world remain under construction. Let the Jewish people finish the world. They'll be my partners in completing the world. Okay, but, you know, we're not into this type of stuff, this Kabbalistic stuff, the shameless of Hashem. But Rashi says, no, here you got to know what this means. You have to understand what it means in this context. And in fact, the way Rashi explains it in this context is not the typical way we learn about the shameless of Hashem. It's not a typical. So what does Rashi say? He says, I'm reading from Pasuk Dalet in Rashi, so there's very few words here. V'gam akimosi es brisi, v'gam kishenir esi lohem bekel shakai, Hitzavti vehemadati brisi beni uveinechem, lo seis lemeseretz kanan. Rashi goes on to say, that, maybe you could. Mayor. Wow. You've touched my heart. Okay, weiter. Okay, over here, Rashi over here says that I made promises that I did not fulfill. I told Avraham, I will give you Eretz Yisrael. I told Yitzchak, I will give you Eretz Yisrael. I told Yaakov, and you know what? I never gave it to them. And I made to them promises. And when they heard my promises, that's all they needed. They never ever demanded, they never had any havamin that they're gonna have to see the fulfillment of these promises. Hiftachtiv v'loy kiyamtiv. I promised and I did not fulfill. They never knew the shame yudke vavke. Now, in the context of these psukim here only, let's not go into a course of Kabbalah on the shame of Hashem. Rashi here says it means the shame yudke vavke means the midah of emes, to witness the fulfillment of my promises. They never, I promised they'll have Eretz Yisrael, but they never ever got it. And you know something? It didn't bother them one bit. It never bothered them. I appeared to them with Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai in this context only means I promised them. But Ushmi Hashem, the name of Yudke Vavke, to witness the fulfillment of the promises, that wasn't on the table. That wasn't an issue. But you, Moshe, oy vey, I got to deal with you, Moshe. The first thing you want to know is, where's the money? Where is the fulfillment of your promises? Where is the reward? Chaval al da'avdin v'loy mishtachin. I used to deal with the avos. By them, they never had a concern about witnessing the fulfillment of the promises. But you, Moshe, you want right away. Mashmoy, mo oimar lohem. Prove to me that you're going to actually fulfill your promises. Let me read the words of the Rashi one more time. Rashi, when he begins the entire thing, he says of him, Bikel Shakai. Let's not get involved in the etymology of these words, but Hiftachtim Haftachois Uvikulon. Every promise, Amarti Elohim, I said, and every time I made Hashem appear to them in the name Yudke Vavke as well. But Rashi is very careful here. Every time I made a promise to the Avos, the promise was uttered with the shame Kel Shakai. No guarantee you'll get anything. I made prom uvukul mati lohem ani kel shakai ushmi Hashem lo nedati lo yochidati in ksivkan elo lo nedati lo nikarti. I was not known to them. I did not make myself known to them. Lohem b'midas amitis shalish she'olecha nikro shmi Hashem nemon la'ameis devarai. They weren't interested in that. And then Rashi goes on to cite all of the psukim. Every single one where he promised Avraham the land, he promised Yitzchak the land, he promised Yaakov the land, and they never lived to see it, and they had no complaints. But you right away say, Mashemoy, mo oimar lohem. Okay, then Rashi goes into another pshat. And then Rashi says, turn the page, a whole new mahalich. And Rashi says, let me wish a little bit further, V'raboseinu dorshuhu. The same pasuk test. By pasuk test, if you have the article on page 166, in the article chumash you're looking at 166, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Six lines down. V'raboseinu dorshuhu. Oh, now we're going into drush. Let me tell you another approach. Not pshat drush. Le'inyan shel ma'ila sh'ama Moshe loma hariyosa. Complaints. Moshe said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, you're a bad guy. I didn't make that up. Lama hare osa la'am hazeh. You've brought upon these people ra. They're suffering. You're out to get them. You're out to get them. What do they do to you? Lama, this is quite a statement. We just make believe. We never heard these words. Lama harayosa la'am hazeh. Could you imagine someone saying that today publicly in a newspaper? They would put it in the chayrim. Moshe wasn't censored. Unbelievable. Lama harayosa la'am hazeh. Moshe lama harayosa. Omar lo yakodesh baruch hu chaval al da'avdin. V'loy mishtachen, oy gewalt, I feel so bad about the avos. You know, the avos, if they wanted to say to me, Loma Hariosa, they had a lot what to complain about. I promised the land to Avram, and right away, famine. He goes to Egypt. They abduct his wife. Grois etzores.
What did he say?
Yeah. Okay, this is, let's focus on this. I said the famine. When Avraham wanted to bury Sarah, the Chevra Kadisha held him up. It's a terrible Sarah. Likbar is loy motzo kever. He paid 400 shekel kesef over la soicher for his own land. He didn't have to pay a penny, it's his land. He had to pay 400, which they say today is at least $3 million. Make the calculation in silver. $3 million. It's my house here. I own this whole land. Hashem promised me this land. Why do I have to pay $3 million for something that I own? Likbar loymotza kever at shakone bidomim mirubim. V'chein b'Yitzchak iraru olav al habeiros asher chofar. V'chein b'Yakov, they try to take away his wells. V'chein Yaakov ayikines chelkas asode, he had a blintos olo, he had to pay a lot of money. A lot of money for the vayikin he acquired. Why you have to pay money? And yet the lo hirharu achare midoisai v'ato amarto lo mahariosa. Okay, so let's forget the pshat klar and understand the difference between the pshat and the drash. The pshat was, I made promises to the avos and I never fulfilled them. Drash. I caused the avos to suffer. I brought upon the avos suffering. Avram Avinu couldn't find a place to bury his wife. Yitzchak dug wells and they were stolen. Yaakov Avinu, he had to go fight to buy a piece of land.
His whole life.
I brought upon the avos difficulties. They suffered. And they never ever complained. And you complain, Lama Hariosa. These are two different worlds of interpretation how to read these psukim. The Rashi is saying we have a collection of psukim, and we have to read them, understand this Kel Shakai, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then the psukim go on to explain the Gam Hakimosi as Brisi Lochem Lo Sei Slamis Eretz Kenan. Okay, it goes through the whole thing, but basically, without getting into the whole day going through the details, but basically what he's saying is the pshat is, no, the avos, I made promises and I never fulfilled them. You right away want guarantees for fulfillment. Drash, the avos suffered. They suffered and they didn't complain. You suffer and you complain. World of a difference. Pshat, promises, fulfillment. No one's suffering. In the pshat, there's no suffering. There's no mention of suffering. Not a ki huzeh. I made promises. I promised I'll give you something. No. So where is it? The avos never came to me and said, no, you made promises. Okay? And the second interpretation is a different world. It's important to understand this it's all about suffering. We're not dealing with promises, fulfillment. We're dealing with the difficulties in life. The avos suffered and they never complained. You suffer and you complain. That's a world of a difference. Pshat and drush. And normally, if this is a regular Rashi, Rashi would stop right there. Zehu pshutoi umidroshoi, and have a nice day. Let's now go on to the next pasuk. But Rashi here uncharacteristically goes on a tirade. And at first he says, you know, the drash here, yeah, it's a nice drash, but it doesn't really fit into the psuk. It doesn't fit into the words. You know, you can probably say this on every drash. It doesn't fit into the words. You're taking it totally out of context. Rashi never does that. Yeah, so that's what a drash is. A drash is something which you take a little section out of context, and you say a whole idea. It's hidden in the pasuk. So, it's obvious. Isn't that obvious what a drash is? A drash is not meant to be pashup shot. It's taken out of context by design. Rashi goes on to say, you know something? He says, let me just find the place I live at. The ein hamedrash misyashev achar hamikra mibnei kama devarim. Or really, as if we don't know that. Every drash you can do this. Not every, but many, many you can do this. Achas, he goes on to number two. He goes on and on and on. Then he's lekach, after analyzing and ripping this to shreds, lekach ani oimer, therefore I say, yisyashev hamikra al pshutoi dovar al ofanov, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing these words correctly, each thing in its context, vehadrosha tidoresh, shenemar haloi koi divorai koeish num Hashem, uchepatish yifoy tzeitzela, mischalek lekamini tzeitzes. So, this pshat, this drush, the drash here doesn't make any sense. You can't read the drash into the psukim. And therefore, I want to let you people know the ikar is the pshat. And you want to make a drash? Nah, fine, gezunt hate. Torah is infinite. There is an anvil. There is a patish. And you give a zetz, and many sparks come out. Ayin panim l'torah. What is Rashi doing here? What's going on? What's bothering Rashi? What is he upset about over here? So I want to say, Rashi over here is telling us an incredible, incredible yisoid about these psukim. Why bedafka Rashi in this pasuk, more so than any pasuk anywhere in the whole Tanakh, could all worked up? Because the Medrash here is learning the psukim, saying that the pshut is saying in reading the pasuk about suffering, as if to say, giving you the impression that the Ribbono Shel Olam went out of his way to bring upon the avos suffering. Hashem set up the avos to suffer. Hashem went and made all of these promises, brought the avos to this expectation that they're going to have Eretz Yisrael, and then Sarah dies. I can't even find a place to bury her. And he suffered. Yitzchak, you work your whole life, you go dig wells, you do this, and someone comes along and says, get out of here, it's their mine. That's called suffering. Yaakov suffered. The Ribbono Shel Olam, you're learning the pshat and the psukim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam went out of his way to set you up that you should suffer. And then, wow, the avos are very great people. Even though I gave and I zetz them, and I brought upon them suffering, they accepted it. Tzadik hu Hashem, I accept the pain and suffering. Moshe, I'm bringing upon you suffering, you are correct. I'm bringing terrible suffering upon the Jewish people, and my complaint to you is, why don't you like the avos and just accept it? So Rashi says, how dare you do that? How dare you give? It's not that it's true. There is truth. We're not denying the truth. But don't, every time you have a medrash, let's say like this. Let's say you have a pshat and you have a medrash. And the medrash, it's very nice. It's very pleasant. It's like ice cream. There's the pshat in the pasuk, and there's the drash. If you learn the pshat, it's like eating a steak. And if you learn the medrash, it's like dessert. They're both, wow, pretty good. Hashem is showing how much He loves us. So if you read the pasuk this way, the pshat, Hashem loves us. If you read the pasuk according to the drash, Hashem loves us even more. So you know something? Pick and choose. Kishem she'ein partzuf ein shavos kach ein deos ein shavos. If you like the drash, it fits into the pasuk. Who's stopping you? Very nice. But here you're doing something that's very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. You're taking a drash And the whole mahus of the drash is to dwell upon suffering. And you almost give the impression that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he by design wants people in this world to suffer. He wants to set you up to suffer. He says to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, and then I'm going to create circumstances where you're going to be disappointed. And it's expected of you to just sit and take the suffering the way you get it. No one is denying that's what happened. But to express it in such a way as if almost to give you the impression that this is Hashem's modus operandi to go and set you up to suffer, so, and you should be mekabel the Yisurim in order to get reward in the next world, that's not true. That's not the way Hashem operates this world. Hashem is not here, did not create a world to cause people to suffer. Hashem, oylam chesed yibaneh. And any time there is suffering, it's because our misunderstanding of interpreting events, or our chatoim, or mibnei chatoenu golinu me'artzeinu. And Chazal, Ramban, is not ashamed to say that the avos did averos. No one came to this world because they're a tzaddik. Everyone came to this world to struggle. And it's true that from our perspective, when we look at the story, we have to acknowledge that we were disappointed, the others were disappointed, and they suffered. But to take that and to make that the ikur in how you learn the pasuk, even when you're working with medrash, no, you don't do that. You don't do that. It's true. A medrash, ha-medrash tidoresh. We're only human beings, and we have to acknowledge lama harayoso lama hazeh. We have to live with that. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I want to see harayni no es kivoydecha." Rashi, I know that's not Rashi. Some not, but tzaddik viraloi, tzaddik Chazal says tzaddik viraloi. No one's denying we're only human beings, but don't make that into the pshat of, don't make that into the primary way you learn Torah, because that is not Hashem's goal, is to set up people to suffer. And Rashi over here is super sensitive to this particular drash. You can have pshat and drash all over Tanakh, all over Chumash. And you can learn the pasuk the way you want to learn the pasuk. It's open. If Chazal say so, Chazal say so. But this particular approach, this medrash, which is Torah's emes, that the avos suffered, they were set up to suffer by promising the land and then going through unusual difficulties, and they were mekabel the yisurim. This is not the way you learn Chumash. It's emes, vehadrash yidore, vehadrosha tidoresh. But don't go read this into the pasuk as this is a mahalich in the pasuk. This is behind the scenes, what the way Hashem runs his world, which we're not privy to. You want to learn Chumash, it's a Torah's chesed. It's not a Torah of suffering. And the Torah's chesed is Hashem made promises to the avos. V'zehu. And the avos did not merit to see the fulfillment of their promises. And they had emun in Hashem. It doesn't say anywhere that the avos suffered. Hashem promised. We have emunah. Suffering? What's suffering? What are you talking about suffering? We didn't suffer.
They didn't.
What?
They did suffer.
The pasuk is not telling you they suffered. But according to the drash, the pasuk is saying that Hashem says to Moshe, the avos, they suffered. I made them, I squeezed them tight. I made them suffer. And they were crying. What? You want to learn that the Torah is telling you that the Ribbono Shel Olam created a world for people to suffer.
Okay.
That you don't do. This is not the Torah. It's there is suffering in this world. Oh boy, is there suffering in this world? Is there suffering? We know there's suffering. But don't ascribe the suffering to Hashem's design that He made the world that we should suffer.
So
that's part of Moshe's question. Harenas kvodecha tzadik v'raloi. Rashi says, v'hadrasha tidaresh. But don't read this into the simple translation of the words. Don't you dare, because you give an impression that the Torah, the Hashem's Torah, is not a Torah of Chesed. Rabbi Chol, yes.
Given what you said, my question is, was the suffering, because we know there was suffering, regardless of whether it says so in that particular context, was that suffering necessary for the process to play out, or was it deserved?
It's not relevant. That's Hashem's business. That's not our business. That's totally irrelevant to us. That's totally, we'll never know the answer to that. Maybe in the next world. That's not our department. That's not our department. How is the person supposed to know? How do we know? Obviously, there's a principle of chet, and every chet, if it's not true with this punishment, but there's also a principle of yisurim in order to increase a person's reward in the next world. The Gemara says this. And the Chazal saying you should never want this. It's loyhein v'loy secharan. No way. Loyhein, maybe that means that Hashem doesn't do that anymore. Loyhein v'loy secharan. That's not our department. That these are the sisrei Torah. Torah is nigle. Nigle, Rashi seems to be saying that sometimes you can use a medrash as a simple translation of the pasuk. Why not? If you have a medrash and the medrash fits in very nice into the pasuk, so you know what? When the Torah gave you the Torah Sanigle, the medrash is the Torah Sanigle. But if the Torah Sanigle is ascribing to Hashem cruelty, then arois from the base medrash. Out of the base medrash. It's MS. We're not denying that it's not true. Again, those words. The hadrosha. Tidoresh, but not in my base medrash. In my base medrash, Rashi says, after he quotes V'raboy Seinu Darshuhu, and after he gives you the whole drash of the suffering, he writes, V'ein ha-medrash misyashef achar ha-mikra mipnei kama devarim. Uncharacteristic of Rashi. This is the pshat, this is the medrash, and then all of a sudden he rips the medrash to shreds. Don't read that into the pasuk. How dare you? Mibnei kama devarim. And then he goes off. Achas. And then v'im toimai goes through a whole long shtickle Torah over here. Why? Yeah. I know the medrash. V'rabbi seinu. Ha medrash tidarish. But don't put that into this pasuk. Yeah. And what about the other 100 times you quoted a medrash and you let it go? You let it go. Why? There's a very big difference, because all the other 100 times I let it go is because, you know, it's very nice. It's dessert. It leaves you with a good inspirational feeling that Hashem loves us. Hashem is kula toiv. It's a toiras chesed. The Torah begins with chesed. The Torah ends with chesed. A Torah begins with a gemach store for clothing and ends with a free burial society. A toiras chesed. So don't you dare put in the Torah a pasuk that says that Hashem sets up people to suffer. Unacceptable to do that. Do people suffer? Does Hashem appear, from our limited understanding of the way this world works, does it appear that people are set up to suffer? It sure does. It certainly does. What, you're gonna deny the fact, the reality? You have to be a maimon. You have to be a Baal Emunah. Moshe, if Moshe didn't get the answer, well, we think we're going to get the answer. But that is the exception. This is not the approach. The approach of Torah and the Hashkafa of Yadus is Hashem created a world to do chesed, to make you happy. Kol Yisrael yesh lohem chelek bo'olam haba. The goal of creating people is not to create them, to torture them. It's to create them to be mative to them. And if you see otherwise, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. No one is foolish to say that this is not a major challenge to one's emuna. But it's a challenge. It is not the narrative. The narrative is Hashem created the world to do chesed. So therefore, it's particularly important in this instance. Beautiful pshat. The avos were maminim. Wow, that's a very nice thing to say. Rabbi Seinu Darshu. What did Rabbi Seinu Darshu? I set them up to suffer. Hashem went like a toy, a child. That's the worst thing you can do to a child. The worst thing. My mother always used to scream at me. I used to do this to little kids. You go and you tease them. And you tease a child. You're setting them up to suffer. You don't do that. I promised them Eretz Yisrael. And then Sarah dies. Can't even find a place to bury her. He owns the whole land. Yitzhak, yeah. And they were, what? Yeah, it's true. It's true. But don't read that into the pasuk. Don't abuse Medrash to say that. Arois from the Beis Medrash. Okay, this is my take on this Rash. Okay, let's discuss another idea. Yeah.
Can you just give me another mashal where it said that Eivishta made the Imos Ikoros in order that they should be Marver and Tefillah? Isn't that very similar to what
you... It's a challenge. That's a drash. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there were infinite number of things in the Torah where people suffered. But here, what's problematic is you reading the Pesukim. I promised Avram Avinu Eretz Yisrael. And what happened? And then when it came to Vayikever, he suffered. And it was, Kel Shakai, he accepted the suffering. What did you just do here? And we just take it for granted. What did you just do here? You read into the Pasuk a statement that the Ribbono Shel Olam set up a person to suffer. You don't do that. You don't do that in the Pasuk. These are concepts that exist in the world of reality, but this is not the goal of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The goal of the Ribbono Shel Olam is to create people to do with them chesed. It happens to be that sometimes things get off track for reasons that we have no understanding, and people suffer greatly to no end, and they're challenged. And the ultimate, at the end of the game is, they have to say, they have emunah pshut in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But to go and to say that this is a derech of Hashem? L'chatchila? Okay, good. People are asking questions. Now they're not.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
No.
I have to go
by it. I'm positive. The Rav Miller said Tzavah used to say that the word nesionis is related to the word des. That the nesionis is given to the person in order to sonis, to raise him up.
To raise up higher. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's a mahalach. That's trying to give an answer to the difficult question of why good people suffer. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another short idea. Is the beginning of the parasha begins. There's three aliyahs here. Aliyah number one, aliyah number two, aliyah number three. The first aliyah, Hashem appears to Hashem is having a conversation with Moshe. All right, very nice conversation. I talk to the avos, and you're going to go to Egypt. You're going to talk to Paro. We have a plan. We got a plan for the Exodus. Okay, the aliyah is over. They call up Mayor Appeldorf for Levi. It's a very, very like, you know, just, it's very technical aliyah. Yichus, who do we got here? Who's on the team? And we go through all the names of all the people, all the families. Ganze Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Not everyone, but we go through, we won with Miyachis, Moshe and Aaron. The whole second aliyah is Eile. Roshei Beis Avosim Bnei Ruvain, Bnei Shimon, Uziel, Koirach is also here. Look at that. Bnei Koirach also gets in over here. Elazi goes to Ganze Yichus. Finished. Then, come to Moshe V'Aaron. We got Ruvain, Shimon, Levi. In Shevi Levi, we have Moshe V'Aaron. Heim Hamadabra Mil Paramelch Mitzrayim, Hosias V'Yisrael Mitzrayim, who Moshe V'Aaron? Vayehi B'Yom Diber Hashem Moshe B'Eretz Mitzrayim. Finished. The Aliyah is over. Third aliyah. Third Aliyah, they call her Michal Miller. Ya'amoy to Michal Miller. Mark, sorry, you'll have to only get maftir. Okay, we go to the third Aliyah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemer, Ani Hashem. Look at that, Ani Hashem. Daber el paro melech mitzrayim eis kol asher ani dover elecha. Rashi, what's this going on over here? This is nothing new. This is old stuff. Because we were mafsik, in beat with listing off, rattling off all the names of the people, so we have to choizer al harishonos, Rashi says. Let's refresh ourselves. Let's refresh. Where were we up to? We got sidetracked. We have a conversation. We got sidetracked. Let's return to our conversation. So when it says here the words Ani Hashem, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer, Ani Hashem, Daber el Paro Melech Mitzrayim Eis Kol Asher Ani Dover Elecha, the word Ani Hashem goes back to the very first pasuk of this parsha. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem. And then when it says Daber, this goes going back to pasuk Yud. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar bo daber el paro melech mitzrayim. So it's basically pasuk, the first pasuk in the third aliyah is a return to review the first pasuk and pasuk yud. Okay, it's a little bit strange. The Torah doesn't really do that type of stuff. Okay, the Torah doesn't do this stuff. Chazara lachzal l'rishonos. It's a little bit different, right? I mean, everything in the Torah, you know, there's a whole maze. You learn many of these psukim. You got to piece together. There's a word. This word means there's a whole story behind this word. And here, there's what having a conversation here. And then we get sidetracked. Oh, let's return back to what we were talking about before. No, isn't that strange? I can show you many psukim where you have a v'eseir hachatos doroish dorash moisha v'hine soyrof. V'ayoymer. Those two, three psukim is a whole conversation. And the whole conversation is one word represents a whole sentence. And all of a sudden here, yeah, we said the whole, but let's chazer it over. This is really, it's very strange, no? It's very strange. So we'll figure it out. If we would not have the chazara, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out, just keep on going. The parish will be a little bit shorter. And let's continue the story. We don't need a chazer just because we were sidetracked with the names. Okay, but Rashi says that's the pshat. And far be it for me to... Rashi is kodesh kodashim. That's the pshat. But they never stopped all the rabbis from saying homilies and saying drush. The kasha is a good kasha. No, I think it's a very basic question. If you look very carefully... There's a lot going on over here. When it says in the beginning of the parasha, Ani Hashem, Rashi's first words, Ani Hashem, Nemon l'shalem sochar toiv l'mishalchem l'fonai. Moshe, I got a job. I'm giving you seven figures. You got a job. Take the job. It's worth it. You don't like the job. You don't like working with people? You know, everyone's got a price. Everyone. I have a very low price, in fact. Everyone's got a price. For enough money, you can convince anyone. It's just a matter of... Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, Nem l'shalim socher toiv. Take the job. Now, we have a conversation, job requirements. Oh, let's talk about the people. Who are you going to take care of? Who are you going to shepherd? Who is your flock? Eile Rosh Avos. Let's talk about the people on the club. Very nice. When Moshe hears about the people, who his flock is. Okay, let's review now. Let's get back to the job. Third Aliyah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Ani Hashem. Same Ani Hashem. Rashi is the same Ani Hashem as in the first pasuk in the parasha. Rashi has to comment. Again, Nochamo. Rashi should say the same thing. We'll say nothing. Neman l'shalim socher toiv. And what does Rashi say in pasuk Chavtes? Ayidaber Hashem. Hu adibur atzmer homer l'mayla. Okay, don't make no mistake about it. It's the same Ani Hashem. Bo Dabel Paro. He goes on over here. Ani Hashem. Then jump down the next Rashi. Kedai ani l'shalechacha ulekayem divrei shilichusi. I'm worthy to send you. It's Kedai Moshe Rabbeinu for you to do this job. Oh, wait a minute. Where's the money? In the first time it said Ani Hashem, Rashi says, Nemon l'shalem sochor toiv. All of a sudden, in this Rashi, the sochor toiv disappears into thin air. There's no more reward. No more reward. Kedai ani, it's do it because I told you to do it. No reward anymore. Kedai ani l'shalecho l'kayim divrei shluchusi. Another very big difference. Yeah. It's not exactly accurate what Rashi said that it's a chazar, because in the beginning of the parasha it says, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe. Dibur is koshe, very strong. Here it says, Shlish Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. No, I made a mistake. That's the same. Okay, I named it the next part. The next part is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar Pasuk Yud in the beginning of the parasha. Bo Daber El Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Bo Daber Vayidaber. And here in the Shlishi, it says Vayoyimim Moshe. I'm sorry again. There are a lot of differences. We don't have time to go through all the differences. We'll put on one more difference. In Pasuk Yud Beis, part of the conversation that we are reviewing, Moshe responds to Hashem, no, thank you. Thank you for the seven-figure offer, but no thank you. Vayidaber Moshe, the word Moshe is now speaking very harshly. Vayidaber Moshe lefnei Hashem lemar. I'm sorry, Hashem, I ain't going. Hein b'nei Yisrael lo yishamu elai. Ve'eich yishme'eni Pharaoh. If they don't listen to me, there's no way Pharaoh is going to listen to me. And by the way, v'ani aral sefosayim. I can't talk anyway. I ain't going. Here, in Shlishi, Moshe doesn't say to Hashem, Vayidaber. He doesn't say, he says, Vayoyimei Moshe. All of a sudden, Moshe, he's softened up. When he's now giving Hashem a hard time, he doesn't say to Hashem, Vayidaber. He's speaking softly now. Vayoyimer. Hashem got a problem. And notice here, he reverses the order. He says, Ani aral sefosayim. I have a speech impediment. The eich yishma elai paro. In other words, Moshe here didn't say no. Moshe said, I'm going. But I got a problem. Help me with this problem. When the order is, if the Jews don't listen to me, Paro's not going to listen to me. And by the way, Hashem, it's a good excuse because I can't talk anyway. Here, he doesn't make the kal v'chomer. He doesn't make any kal v'chomers. He just says, I have a speech impediment, so how am I going to communicate? And he doesn't say vayidaber, he says vayomer. When you contrast the beginning of the parasha, the end of the parasha, it basically, Hashem, I'm going. I'm going for free. You can keep the money. I'm going. Forget about the sochar toiv. L'holchem. And you know what? No kal v'chomers anymore. If the Jews don't listen, how's Paro going to listen? Forget about the kal v'chomer. I'm going. I got a problem. You know, I need some gasoline for the car. Maybe you can lend me your credit card for the trip. How am I going to just tell me the technique? What changed? What changed between the beginning of the parasha and the third aliyah? You know what changed? These are the people. These are your sheep. Eile Roshe, what changed between the first conversation, the first aliyah, and the second aliyah, is the yichus of Klal Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe, you don't want to go. You don't want to go. Let me describe to you the people that you're going to save. Let me give you their names. Let me show you their profiles. Let me show you their LinkedIn accounts, their Facebook accounts. Let me show you the yichus of Klal Yisrael. Moshe melted. Wow. Such chosh of a people. You know something? It's kedai to do this for free. Okay, you take a person. You want to be a forced parent? You want to adopt a child? No way. No way am I going to adopt a child. I can't afford this. I don't have the patience. I don't have the time. It's impossible for me to adopt a child. No way in the world can I adopt a child. I can't afford. I got a job. I have shibudim. I have a million things. Okay, before you tell me no, I want to introduce you to someone. And you bring in the child. And the child looks at the person and smiles. And the person melts. Okay, I'll take care of him. He's mine. What changed? You gave me 100 reasons why you can't do this. I see the child. You know something? I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. The parasha begins. The mamish, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is putting on his boxing gloves. Moshe, I got a job for you. A lot of money. A lot of money. Ani Hashem! Neman l'shalem socher toiv. How much do you want? 1 million? 2 million? 10 million? You got it. Moshe says, no thank you. If I can't convince one of these guys in the street to listen to me, I'm going to go convince Paro. Forget it. And as Moshe says this with conviction. Conviction. Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem. Conviction. And then he says, and by the way, what are you thinking? I can't even talk. Okay, before you say no, Klal Yisrael, come. Let the sheep enter. You're going to say no to these people? You know something? I changed my mind. And you know what? I'll do it for free. I don't need the Neman L'Shalem Socher Toiv. And my tone of speech is no longer no. I'll go. But Bereshit, just do me a toiv. I need a credit card to get over the bridge. And the Al Sefer Sayim. The whole thing totally changed. The second Aliyah has changed the equation mikotze el kotze. Now I want to talk politics for 10 seconds. 10 second politics, my 10 seconds a little bit longer, but Mamashev for Marner of Michal. It's a very frightening parasha, pasuk in this week's parasha, where Moshe says to Paro, Paro says, you want a slaughter? Paro is finally loosening up. All right, you want a slaughter? So slaughter right here. Go to Midwood Field on Avenue L. Take all the sheep and slaughter them to your God. Moshe says, no way we're going to slaughter the sheep over here on Avenue L, Midwood Field. Hein toyavas Mitzrayim, what was the exact pasuk? It's the toyavas Mitzrayim. The lo yiskeluni? Yiskelunu? Well, what's the pasuk says? The pasuk says, we're going to go and slaughter sheep. The sheep is the deity of the Egyptians. If we're going to slaughter the sheep in public, they'll kill us. And he calls it the sheep, the Toyavas Mitzrayim. If we slaughter the Toyavas Mitzrayim, they're going to stone us. This is a very frightening parasha. Because today in the world of politics, this country and the world, they're bent. They're mamish bent. They're on a crusade. The only way you can get a promotion is to take your values and slaughter them. And show that you're embracing the ideology of things that the Torah openly declares to be called to'evos. What's going on in this world, the Torah has a word for it, to'evos. So until now, the goyim couldn't, they didn't engage in these things publicly like they did today, nothing. So, Shalom al Yisrael, we have the same beliefs. Okay, same beliefs, whatever that means, I don't mean like that, Hashem, whatever. But now, if you don't follow their mahalach, If you don't embrace the Toyavas Mitzrayim, they want to kill us. We're entering into a matziv of conflict where the Torah says, V'lo yiskaluni? They're not going to stone us? It's a very frightening thing what it says over here. It says over here that when you're in conflict with something that we call a Toeva, and they can call a deity, they have embraced a deity, a philosophy of life, an ideology that they worship. They worship to such a degree, they'll do anything for this. Any mishigas they'll do for this. They'll destroy the world for these causes. And in our Torah, these things are called a Toeva. And if we're going to go and we're going to fight the Toeva, V'lo yiskaluni, it's a very frightening thing. It's a wake-up call to do teshuva and be mevakesh rachamim, that this shouldn't get worse. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom Ilvarach. Oh my. Hey.